There's work, the same way, you're trying to, be in the gospel, be in the word, be, present with your Bible study and worship with the saints and grow as a person. The same things apply to your marriage,
Sure.
and if you're not, doing those things of being in the word and praying with your spouse and all that kind of stuff, it's going to be harder, and it's already hard. Welcome back, guys, to another week of Uncommon. I am Joshua.
I am TJ.
And this is Uncommon, and so can you be. So this week we're talking about what do you do when your marriage feels like you are roommates versus soulmates?
Ooh, I guess it's good timing. Dana and I just turned 36 years, Monday, February 2nd, and I always tease that if I come out and I see my shadow, we'll stay married another 6 months. So, fingers crossed. Yeah, I think that there are certain pitfalls in a marriage that open the door to roommates. Empty nest. We've seen that situation. Sometimes the big life things, like maybe it's a job that requires way too much of our time, and we're not spending time with each other, whether it be talking, intimacy, just date night, whatever it is. And we're just kind of like, well, I'm off to work for 60 hours this week, and I'll see you, I'll high five in the hallway,
Ships in the night.
Right. I think those type of situations open doors to, like, you've lost that soulmate. And it does take work, obviously, to maintain that, but I think that is good work to put in.
Yeah, well, and I want to preface this with the idea that, your relationship will always go through seasons. And there may
Sure.
be a roommate season where you're both working 80-hour weeks, or
Sure.
you're both, just exhausted from a new child or something to that effect, right? It is staying as roommates that's the problem.
Correct.
And I think we're going through a study right now as a Bible study group. And one of the big things we're talking about is what leads to roommate kind of scenarios is lack of communication,
Sure.
disconnect. If you are okay with just kind of like high-fiving or sitting on the couch on your phones and that's all you do kind of thing, it's important to understand that that is not the model that we are supposed to be living out with the Bible telling us what our marriages should reflect, right?
Sure.
Our marriages are supposed to reflect the love that God has for the church. Husband loves your wives as Christ loved the church. Wives submit to your husbands and that kind of thing. And I think some people have got this weird idea that once you get married, that's all sunshine and roses. We're gonna be like that middle part of the romance movie. Not the end part. Not the
No.
end part. Not the
No.
beginning part, but the middle part. That's what we're gonna be forever. And I think people forget. It takes work. It takes vulnerability. It takes talking through, hey, I feel really disconnected from you right now.
Sure.
What can we do to kind of get back on the same track? It's being vulnerable, like, hey, I want to be intimate more, or hey, I don't feel like you have really poured into my love language recently,
Right.
or I'm not pouring into yours, or whatever the case may
Sure.
be. Because I think a lot of the times, roommate syndrome, the first step to kind of digging your way out of that hole is talking about it. And I think some people almost feel like, well, I can't talk about it because then I feel like I've failed as a marriage, And I think everyone goes through this. I don't care who you are. You've
Sure.
had a season of this. And I mean, I know plenty of couples who are still in it. They've been in it since they said the I do's.
Right.
They said the I do's. They had children. And they're like, cool, I'll check in on you. I love you. I'll let you know if that changes.
All right.
And I think some people feel like, oh man, I feel like a roommate. Like all we do is sleep in the same bed. That's all we do. I feel like I failed as a marriage. And then don't talk about it because they feel like if they talk about it, that's admitting the fault,
Yeah, my parents' generation, I'm Gen X, I think those would be boomers, I guess.
I think so.
And so a lot of my aunts and uncles range kind of that felt like the roommate generation. And they were content with a lot of that. I didn't feel that that group talked and sat down and said, "Hey, you know what? I'd love to take and get be closer. Let's find a hobby we can do together." When I retire, Mom has already set an itinerary for us. No, I was kidding.
Till Lord comes back.
So the Lord comes back. But there's people in we've known, friends or family, that they're content to like live life in different rooms of the house. It's almost like the Waltons, you know. You doing okay back there? All right. It's like it's a commercial here, right? Okay, I can't talk anymore. It's back. And they don't want to change that. It's like, look, you keep cooking the food, washing my clothes, I'll keep working, and we're fine. And if that is all you want out of a marriage, I don't know why you married in the first place. And I think there should be some accountability with each other. Like your wife, husband should be able to approach you and say, I feel like we're in a rut.
I one of the marriage studies we did very early on in our marriage gave I and I love this phrase. I used it recently and it got some chuckles, but it talked about how when you get married, your spouse has a hunting license on your life. They have full license to point out and correct you in any aspect. 'Cause if anything is off limits to the other person, that's not full commitment to the other
Sure,
person.
yeah.
And so, if you're struggling to have that conversation of like, hey, I feel disconnected, it could be on your side of vulnerability. It could also be you've never had a conversation like that before in your marriage and you don't know how to have it. And I think emotional maturity and intimacy is such a low part of people's ability, as men especially. We don't have the vernacular. We don't have the inclination to have that kind of emotional intimacy.
Yeah.
And we really lose out on the depth of love we can feel in our marriage of,
Sure.
loving your wife in such a way that you don't want this just to be great. I get to see you naked. Cool. Awesome. I'll see you next week. That
Right.
kind of thing. It's supposed to be like, hey, I spend time with you. I pour into you. I lead the household as the spiritual head.
We do life together, not apart. I mean, I look back at that, my parents and their siblings. Mom was asking the other day, she's like, on your side, is anybody like still married or like I was going through kind of things and I'm like, wow, it's not very many. There's been a lot of divorce, a lot of dysfunction in marriages and stuff. And I didn't come from a family that was not broken. So I'm a firm believer that function can come out of dysfunction. You can learn what not to be and be better, right? That is the Holy Spirit working in you. So if you feel like, well, I had bad role models, don't have role models. Put Jesus as your role model. But I think that, and I want to just bang on that generation. It happens in,
Yeah, every generation.
every generation. But that's the ones that I saw play out in front of me, right? And even cousins that are my own generation had this same type of thing, a little bit different. But if you're content being a roommate, there's problems when you're in marriage, and you probably need to address them before it leads to separation. Because every time we get a response, like a prayer request for uncommon, 99.9% of the time, it is around that marriage is broken up, or they're separated, or dysfunction, or whatever. And we always ask the same question: are both of you believers? Do you both attend church together? Do you both read your Bible? Do you both pray with each other type thing? And they never once have responded. I can just say we probably have gotten, let's just say, 100 emails over the last decade pertaining to that, and not a single one has responded.
Yeah, because I think at the end of the day, we think, oh, once we get married, it'll be easy. And if it's not easy, then I married the wrong person. We should probably just kind of walk away, wash our hands of each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is, it's such a weird idea. Like, I love, there was a comedian, a Christian comedian, who was talking about he married his wife, and they immediately got into, like, all kinds of fights and dysfunction. And he gave the analogy of they're driving this car, and they're just bickering, and there's this big old red button that has the word divorce written on it. And he's like, you know, 5-6 months in, he's like, I started hitting that divorce button, only to realize that button doesn't work. Because they're like, we can't, this is not how we're going to solve the issue of dysfunction with us. Divorce is not an option. We are. This is kind of the, what is the phrase? Oh, you don't like me? We'll take a nap. We'll pick this up in a minute. Like, yeah, you don't like me today? We're going to love me tomorrow.
Right.
You know, there's work, you know, the same way, you know, you're trying to, you know, be in the gospel, be in the word, be, you know, present with your Bible study and worship with the saints and grow as a person. The same things apply to your marriage.
Sure.
You know, and if you're not, you know, doing those things of being in the word and praying with your spouse and all that kind of stuff, it's going to be harder, and it's already hard.
And it's even worse if you are, I'll use the phrase, unequally yoked. Like, if you are a believer and your spouse is not addressing these issues, become 10 times more difficult.
Yeah.
Because you can't just, like, go to a pastor or whatever to get counsel.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do a marriage study.
Yeah.
That person doesn't want to hear that mess.
Mm-hmm.
You can't sit down and read the Bible together, pray about this. It's very difficult, and that's why the scripture says, don't be unequally yoked. It's going to be challenging. And I think the divorce rate has probably dropped a bit because people are just not getting married anymore.
Right.
And I say, it sounds very, it's like globally, but I mean, the numbers are down because people are living together.
Yeah.
And when they break up, well, there's no marriage to break up. It's just two people living together.
Yeah.
And so, I know we have a couple of devotions. It's one of our first ones that we put out was A Man in Crisis, and then Broken, and like Overcoming or Surviving Divorce.
Yes.
And you could see that very early on in Uncommon, we found out that men were struggling with divorce, separation, whatever. And so check out those three immediately, or see if your spouse would like to get some counseling. There's no shame in getting some counseling.
No.
Getting a Christian marriage counselor, and if you're not believers, or both of you are not believers, and one is, go to a marriage counselor, tell them your situation, tell them you are a believer and that person is not, so they can understand how to counsel you, because dysfunction in communication is sometimes not always centered around your faith. It's, well, you just scream at me or you do this.
Right.
It has nothing to do with your faith. That's an emotional, that's a behavioral issue.
Yeah.
But getting some counseling would be a great step in some form or fashion.
Yeah, and I, you know, want to point out that it's you know, it's hard to kind of talk through these conversations, even from, you know, both being believers, you know, having a spouse that's not, or you're both not, it's going to make this way harder on you because, you know, at least for us, we have the biblical example of what a marriage should be, the tenets to kind of base it off of what love should look like.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what you base that off of if you're not basing it off the Bible.
Whatever the celebrity award show is telling me at the moment, whatever celebrity is on stage telling me what I should feel and what I should do, that's what they probably go by.
Right. And so I want to, you know, just posit that of, like, you know, make sure when you're having that conversation, one's coming from a place of love and not like, hey, I feel disconnected. It's about me now. And it's about, hey, I want us to feel closer together,
Sure.
because as you pull together, you pull closer to God, right? And that's the whole point, is as long as you are pointing your north towards the Lord, both of you are, you will get closer to each other. And that should always be your center point of your relationship. And it should never be, well, he stopped buying me gifts, or she stopped having sex with me, or we don't go on vacation anymore, or whatever the case may be.
Right.
And, understand that there are seasons that roommates, you'll feel like roommates, and it's just important to not stay there.
Amen. Well, check us out at uncommon.org, as I'm sure this video will go viral, a gazillion hits. Leave a comment below what season you're in. Are you soulmates or are you roommates? If you're roommates, tell us what you're struggling with, or tell us how you're trying to overcome that. And if you're soulmates, give us a victory. Kind of, hey, we just did this together, went on a trip, or we served in the community, whatever it is.
Yeah,
Leave us a comment.
because the victories are just as important as the struggles. And I
Amen.
think that, there's a great opportunity to show people who are in it what happens on the other side of that.
Right. What it could be.
Yeah.
Yeah. Alrighty, well, check us out at uncommon.org. We've got a ton of content around this topic. And Joshua, hit him with it.
If you're going to be something, be uncommon.